it's always easy to get applause when you're bringing money to give away. So I just wanted to say a couple things about ourselves here. I'm George Zachary. This is Susan Wu, Bill Tai of Charles River Ventures. And we're happy to actually have involved John Furrier and Valerie Cunningham from PodTech, who are actually going to be podcasting and simulcasting this around the net. Also, Matt Marshall, who is our celebrity judge right here at VentureBeat. I'm not sure who knows about VentureBeat, but almost everyone I know does. VentureBeat, in my book, is basically the definitive place to find out about entrepreneurships and startups on a daily basis. Kind of breaking news, interesting analysis, and a great mix of community. So thanks for being here. I'm going to say a little bit about CRV and then a little bit about why we did what we did today to help you understand. The firm's been in existence for 36 years. And it was founded in 1970 by a retired Air Force colonel with six professors from MIT. Some of the early hits out of CRV were MCI, Continental Cablevision, and Amgen. Very big companies from a very small fund size. Last decade, we had some great funds, actually, ranked by Venture Economics as either the number one or number two venture fund, actually, in the asset class in the world. This isn't from the Bill Susan rating agency. This is from actually a real Venture Economics performance metric. And we are compiling basically a similar performance between 2000 and now. There's about $2 billion in aggregate acquisitions and IPOs that we've had in this last 6 years. We have five companies that will be going public or getting acquired in the next year or two. They're doing a combined $500 million in revenue and growing and profitable. Our active portfolio is pretty much spread throughout the United States. A couple of companies in China, one of them called Maxthon, which I'm going to talk about. I'll give you a couple quick views on companies that we funded recently that have big breakout potential. One's a company called M2Z, founded by Milo Medin. Milo was the co-founder and CTO of Excited Home. He and John Mulleta, who is the commissioner at the FCC, not at the SEC, John was in charge of the wireless bureau at the FCC, and they figured out how to supply nationwide wireless broadband for free to the entire U.S. KP and Redpoint just joined us in the investment. A company called Maxthon that we funded, Net Jakobsen, where's Net? Is right here. Net is in charge of business development, corporate development. This company is pioneering, basically getting big on a very few amount of people. Almost 72 million downloads and 7 employees.
We're hiring, by the way. We really need to hire. So if anyone's interested in it, come see this guy.
Yeah. And Net, you said that you guys generate 1/3 of all the searches into Baidu in China?
Yeah, I think around 20%, between 20-25%.
So there, you know, Maxthon for us is a prototypical view of companies that can get big with a very small amount of capital. We funded a company called Skywriter, which is basically has some incredible veterans in the company from networking and the internet. It's focused on basically monetizing the global P2P network community, which has about 13 million simultaneous users, more searches every day than Google, but it's just been a difficult, fragmented network. That's going to be a search marketing kind of business. Why we're here, why this pitch contest, why we care about pitching to you. So one of the things we keep noticing is we are inundated with email, as I'm sure everyone else is here. But beyond that, everyone is pitching everyone else in this world of media fragmentation. It seems that 15 minutes of fame is now being reproduced or actually replaced by 30 seconds of attention. So one of the reasons why we're having this pitch contest is for us to learn and for you to learn what makes for an effective pitch in 1 minute. One of the things I'm used to is after speaking at a conference, people run up to me and say, hey, I got to tell you all about my business, and they immediately tell me 10,000 statistics about what their business is doing or a ton of terminology in 1 minute, and I have no idea what they're talking about. So the reason we're here at the pitch contest basically is to help educate us and basically educate a broader audience about what makes for an effective 1 minute presentation. And that 1 minute presentation is really critical to basically generating a 1 hour meeting with an investor or a longer meeting. It's actually very important to generating just general buzz with people. And one of the most important things is that a 1 minute pitch, if it's really good, will be replicated by all your users and partners, so it's got to be very concise. Why do we care about Stanford and Stanford GSB? Because you guys are the most entrepreneurial of business school students, and that's a big thing coming from me because I went to MIT. The state of early stage venture capital. I got in the business in 1995. The business is completely different than it was back then. There's an incredible capital overhang. There are network effects to building a business. It's no longer kind of take 4 to 7 years to build a $200 million outcome. What we're seeing now is the rise very quickly, mostly in consumer internet, YouTube being the notable example of companies that can scale from 0 to 20 million users a day in 18 months from being an idea. In 18 months. And we think this is going to continue to play a part in the market. And we actually think there will be bigger hits than Google, bigger hits than YouTube, with a smaller time frame. The industry is bifurcating, meaning the venture industry. The business 10 to 20 years ago was about creating returns. Now, for a large majority of people in the business, it's about making investments that just return their capital so they can be in the money management business. We are not like this. We are focused on the returns business. A big chunk of our $250 million currently active fund comes from us. We will continue to raise these size funds. And the reason we want to is because we want to return capital on the capital, not just sitting around making 2% of our own money every year. So this is a real dynamic driving the venture business. This is, by the way, one of the reasons why our Quickstart program is catching some flack from some venture investors, because it will effectively force them to being focused on smaller funds and returns, which are actually more aligned with people who are starting companies. So I was talking to Joe Grunfest in the law school, who teaches the class on venture capital in the law school. I've never talked to him before. He had no idea who I was before. And he sent me an email, which I should have put on the slide, which basically said, this is going to revolutionize the venture business, and it brings it back to its roots. So he started telling me that he has the original term sheet from Arthur Rock funding Intel. And guess what? It was in the form of a convertible note. It was a $1 million convertible note. It wasn't a large equity raise. It wasn't a seed equity raise. It was a convertible note because the founders were so confident of their business, they did not want to give up too much of the equity. They just wanted to get going and basically prove out some milestones. So how have we structured this Quick Start program? We basically are supplying a $250,000 seed to entrepreneurs. It's in the form of a Series A convertible note. That means the entrepreneur is capable of experimenting with the business, experimenting with the product, but not spending a lot of time in evolving the business structure, basically spending all their time in making sure they have the right product structure. And that's unbelievably important because it can separate the winners from the losers. Small features and functions and different changes in UI can lead to a radically different outcome. Just ask all the other competitors of YouTube. The benefits of this structure is that there's no equity dilution. We do not constrain how much capital or if and when the entrepreneur should raise money and from who or how many investors. You don't have to go out and talk to 10 different angel investors and figure out who to include and who to not include, who's serious and who's not serious. You're not prone to the emotional whims of individual investors. And literally, it's a one-page loan contract, which is ultra simple. One of the things we're seeing is that our Quick Start program is basically separating the previous bundling of advice and capital. And by us supplying capital at an incredible valuation, well, not even valuation, an incredible structure to the entrepreneur, it actually frees up people who have input advice to actually help a startup get involved as what we call an advisor capitalist. So now an entrepreneur can basically get people involved who are advisors, get the capital from us for effectively zero dilution, and basically offer advisors a chance to participate in the company by getting warrants or option agreements. And we have a template on our website which basically says that at the time of Series A funding, we're going to give 1% of the company to these three constituents. The introducer could be a person like you. The advisor could be a person like you. A key organization is someone the entrepreneur says is very relevant to the company and important to the company. It could be Stanford. It could be an entrepreneurship group. It could be anything they want. It just can't be us, the investors, or the person as the entrepreneur. If you have something you want to bring to attention, you can mail it to quickstart@crv.com. But if you want better attention, you should mail it to one of us at crv.com using one of our first names. We basically have this as a public thing because we have been swamped with email working basically 16/7. So that's a quick discussion about CRV and why we're doing what we're doing. And now we just want to open up for Q&A over the next 5 to 7 minutes. Please. Sure. The loan is actually takes the place of the usual seed stage equity. So it's a $250,000 loan that's made in the form of unsecured debt to a company. So if the company goes out of business, the entrepreneur is not personally liable. Yes, please.
How flexible are you on the amount of the loan? Would you ever go above that?
Yeah, we published $250K just to make a simple message for the media, but we're going between $100K to $500K.
We're more interested in what milestone you can achieve so that something has happened with the money.
That's Bill makes a really good point, which is what we're focused on is making sure that you have the amount of capital that you can actually prove that it's a scaling product and there's interest on behalf of consumers.
How many have you done? How many will you do? And what kind of partner involvement do you get along with
Sure. We have formalized basically what we were doing internally already. We had done four companies like this, and we just kind of kept hearing it from entrepreneurs that we really respect and who also have incredible confidence in what they're doing. So they basically said, hey, you know, I don't want to sell 20% of my company to angels and then have to disclose them what I'm doing and then manage them in exchange for them. All they're going to do is email you and tell them that you should meet with them or you should meet with me. And that, so we basically formalized doing this. We had done four since July, and we just had our first round of presentations from Quick Start last Friday, where we saw nine companies in about 6 hours. We've selected at least one of them and maybe two based on structure. In terms of involvement, we can structure, if it's a convertible note where it's debt, we actually will not be on the board. We'll provide input to the company. There won't be a formal board. We don't want to tax the company and us with lots of board meetings early on when the entrepreneur should be spending time on evolving the product. We'll definitely take meetings. We'll definitely introduce the company to other investors and partners. More questions?
U.S. based versus non-U.S. based. Is there a limit to
what you place? Yeah. Well, actually, for this early stage, we're constraining, in the majority of times, our investments on the seed stage to being in the U.S. We'll do some stuff out of the U.S. if we know that there's a good local manager, a local advisor that can help the company. But we don't want to get caught in a situation where there's someone 6,000 miles away and no one there to help them or help them and understand how a venture-backed company would work. Okay, that looks about it for questions. Okay.
If you're a student who'd like to bring Entrepreneur Idol to your school, contact Susan Wu at swu@crv.com.